is a psalm that I hope you will spend more time in, and I would like to spend more time in preaching, because it is where I think each of us who know the great salvation that we have in Christ, we know David's sentiments here. We don't know them just intellectually, we know them experientially, what he says here in this psalm. And so we are going to look at it again. I'm not so sure the title, Blessing of Forgiveness, is the best, but there's some treasures here that I'd like to mine with you briefly before we come to the table this evening. Let's give our careful hearing tonight to the reading of God's holy word. Again, Psalm 32. This is a maskil of David. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely, in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed by bit and bridle and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Please bow with me briefly, asking the Lord's blessing on our time now. Father, we have read your word, and we now ask that you would use it in our lives, that you would be honored in the preaching of it, that Christ would be uplifted as we see him reflected here in these words, and that you would draw us afresh to him tonight. We love you because you first loved us. We are here because you have been gracious to us. And so, Lord, expand our hearts and our understanding that we might know tonight again the height and depth, the width and the breadth of the love that you have for us in Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen. This morning, most of you were here, but some of you weren't. This morning we looked at the reality of the slavery of sin. The fact that literally every sin enslaves, and every time we commit sin, we are moving towards ruin. It enslaves us, and it ultimately ruins us and moves us to death. Indeed, this is being demonstrated. I noted this morning, we don't really need it brought to our attention again. It's kind of an ugly detail in the national news now, but this is being brought to our attention and being demonstrated virtually every day in the news as we see prominent men who are falling into disrepute because they've been exposed as abusers and perverts. And so, in a context like that, in a culture and in our society when these things are happening, I think it's an opportune time that we, not just the rest of the world, but we stop as believers and we examine ourselves And we take some inventory in our own hearts and lives and ask the Lord, in a sense, is it I? What about me and my sin? But this morning, we also didn't just look at the slavery of sin. We began to look at the freedom of the Son, that there is this glorious salvation that is offered in Jesus Christ, that He has promised that when He sets us free, He doesn't just give us any kind of run-of-the-mill freedom, but we will be free indeed. I think that what Jesus is getting at there is this full-orbed freedom, that we're not just freed in the gospel and we're not just freed by Christ from the penalty of our sin. That is gloriously true. Jesus bore our sin in His body on the tree, but we are freed in Christ, not just from the penalty, but from the power of sin as well. No longer do we have to live under its dominion. But there is now a possibility for believers to walk in new obedience, to walk in newness of life. Well, this evening, before we come to the Lord's table as a congregation, I want us to consider to some degree this blessing of forgiveness, this blessing of salvation that David describes here in Psalm 32, because even though these words, and I am still to this day, as I sing the Psalms, as I hear the Psalms read or work in them and to preach them or hear them preached, I'm always struck with these words were written 3,000 years ago. And the experience that's described here is an experience that every believer, as I was mentioning a moment ago, every believer who has a like precious faith in Christ, who has been brought out of death into life, who's been brought from light into darkness, we know this experience. We know what the sense of when you try to cover your sin, and when you do not bring that to the Lord, the way that eats away and rots your bones. David writes of this experience that is really a universal experience that every believer throughout the ages has known, even as he's articulating here the glory and the blessing of forgiveness. Well, it's an interesting psalm because, as you know, and even in our own congregation, we have something that we call our Lectio Continua readings. We read through the scriptures together. But throughout the ages and around the world, a lot of churches, when it comes to the Bible reading in a worship service, they actually have certain passages from the Old Testament that then are coincided with certain passages either from the New Testament or from another part of Scripture. In other words, they might read something in the book of Exodus, and then there'll be a psalm that goes with that reading. And this is a practice that's been going on for about 2,000 years with God's people, that there's readings that coincide with one another. This psalm is read around the world generally with the reading of another passage of Scripture. And that passage of Scripture is Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. This psalm that David wrote is often seen as going with Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. I'm not going to make you answer out loud, but what is? Again, I'm not asking you to yell it out, but what is Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17? I'm going to read it, so if you don't want to turn there, you don't have to, but this is Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. This is the passage then which is answered by Psalm 32, at least in the church's liturgical worship often. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." You see, that is where it all started. It's what we call the covenant of works. Adam is put on probation as to whether he will love and obey the Lord, staying within, and I'm going to use these terms, staying within the plentiful boundaries that God had set for him and granted him. But we all know, and as we have all been affected by, Adam didn't love and he didn't obey the Lord. Rather, he plunged himself and he plunged all of us into the bondage of sin and death. And so, in contrast with that misery that Adam's sin has brought, David sings here of the blessing and the joy that the grace of God in salvation has brought. And with that note on this psalm's correlation and connection with the fall of Adam in Genesis, I want us to briefly consider two more correlations or connections that are either spoken of directly here in Psalm 32, or at least they're implied. And again, you have no points in your outline tonight, but the first point, the first correlation I want us to consider is that this psalm, within the biblical context, introduces us to two kinds of men. Two kinds of men. In other words, we've just heard that this psalm is often associated with the covenant of works or the call of God upon Adam to eat of all the trees of the garden except that one. So we've just heard, I just told you, that's often associated. This psalm is associated with that event, the fall of man. But here's the question. Is that really a biblical connection? Just because the church decided to associate those two together, does that mean that there really is a connection between those two events, this psalm and that, and the fall of man that we find recorded in Genesis chapter 3, actually? Well, when we investigate this a little bit further, we actually hear echoes that take us back into the Old Testament, but actually they don't take us back much farther at first than the very first psalm. And if you were here this morning in the second hour, Dr. Godfrey to some degree stole, maybe it looks like I'm stealing from him this morning, but he pointed out something from Psalm 94 that's exactly true here as well. You know, the entire book of Psalms begins, so the very first words of the whole book of Psalms begin with these words, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners," and it goes on, "nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on it he meditates day and night." And now, notice again how this psalm begins. Look at verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 32 that's before us. Blessed, it's the same exact word, same beginning as the whole book of Psalms. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Look at verse 2. Blessed, here's the same, blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. So as we think of this psalm in the context of the whole book of Psalms, so if you think of Psalm 32 in the context of the entire book of Psalms, there is an inescapable contrast here between two different men. Two different kinds of men. First, there is a man. The entire book of Psalms opens with the declaration that there is a man who is blessed because he walks in obedience and he meditates on God's law day and night. And then this psalm tells us that there is a man, or actually, and I have to tell you, and Dr. Godfrey pointed this out this morning, the two Hebrew words, the one that's there in Psalm 1 and the one that's here, are actually different. Same word that's translated man In Psalm 1, it's much more of there is one man. There is a man who is blessed because he walks not in the counsel of the ungodly nor stands in the way of sinners. This is talking about anybody is blessed who has had their sins forgiven. And so there's this difference of the word man here, but nonetheless, this second, there is a man who is blessed because his sins are forgiven and his transgressions have been covered. If we had more time, I think I could show it definitively, but the first man, the man in Psalm 1, that first man that's introduced to us in Psalm 1 is what we call, or who's identified in Scripture as the second Adam. He is Jesus Christ. He is the only man who has ever truly been blessed by walking in obedience and pleasing the Lord. There is one man who has ever received that blessing because he walked in perfect obedience and was perfectly pleasing to the Lord. What we read about in Psalm 1 is precisely what Adam didn't do, but that Jesus did do. The second man, the man that's in our passage in Psalm 32 here this evening, that's really the first Adam, or maybe more clearly, all of us in Adam, but who have been saved by Jesus Christ. We are not blessed by our obedience. We are not blessed because we don't sin, because we meditate on the law day and night. We are blessed actually by the obedience of another. The obedience of the blessed man of Psalm 1 is how we can then be blessed. Jesus, the Son of God, is the one in whom we have blessing. And this is an amazing gospel truth that's being set before us here, if we will hear it in the context of the whole Psalter. In other words, there are these two ways of blessing. The Psalms give you two ways of blessing. Either blessing by perfect personal obedience, or blessing by graciously granted forgiveness. That is, you can be blessed if you work, or you can be blessed if you receive the gift of grace. One is by earning, one is by receiving. So as this psalm begins, if we will hear it in its biblical and even its context within the whole book of Psalms, we're being told that what was lost by sin has been regained by salvation. What the first Adam lost, the second Adam has gained. And this congregation is pure grace and mercy and love and kindness from God towards sinners like us. But there's another echo here from the past that recalls Genesis again, and that is in the mention of there's really a mention of two kinds of covering here. That's the second thing I want us to consider this evening. There's these two kinds of men. There's one that's blessed by their obedience. That's Jesus alone, his perfection. And then there's us who are blessed by receiving salvation in him. So there's these two kinds of men, us and Christ, and there's these two kinds of covering. Two kinds of covering. The word covering, if you have your text open there in front of you, you'll notice it's found there in verse 1, and it's found in verse 5. The word covering's there in verse 1 and 5, but it's also implied in verse 3. So do you see in verse 3? David speaks of the misery he was in when he tried to cover his sin. And he uses these terms. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. In other words, David's keeping silent was his attempt to cover his own sin. He thought it was hidden. He thought that he didn't have to acknowledge it and confess it before God because he was keeping silent about it. He was attempting to cover his sin. In contrast to that silence or that attempt of covering his sin, notice what David says in verse 5. This is where the Lord has worked on him, and now he says, I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. And thus, then, David's opening outburst of praise there in verse 1, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. You see, this is telling us that there are really two kinds of covering. There's our attempt to try to cover our own sin. And then there's God's gracious covering of our sin in Christ. And that again is an echo of exactly what happened in the garden after Adam and Eve sinned. Adam and Eve sought to cover themselves. They sought to cover their sin, as David describes himself here, and they too were miserable. You know the scene in Genesis chapter 3 where Adam and Eve recognize because of their sin, they are naked and guilty before God. And so they pathetically try to cover themselves with leaves, fig leaves, covering, because they were afraid. They were terrified in the presence of the Lord. And then as you read there, what happens is the Lord then, in place of their pathetic attempt at covering themselves, He covers them with blood-bought skins of an animal. In fact, it's the first death in the Bible. It's the first sacrificial atonement recorded right after Adam and Eve sin. The Lord covers their sin, covers them with the skins of an animal. You can't get the skins of an animal without killing it. And so that's the first sacrifice that we have in the Scriptures. Well, David here is speaking of the contrast between the two types of covering. That is, the contrast between our attempts to cover our sins, hiding ourselves and hiding them from God, and then God covering our sin in Christ and forgiving us. One brings fear into our hearts. When you try to cover your sin, when you try to deal with your sin with your own measures, that will bring fear into your heart. It will bring terror into your conscience. It will bring rot into your bones. It affects us physically because we know we are guilty before God. The other kind of covering brings joy unspeakable and full of glory because we know that He has forgiven our sin, separating it from us as far as the east is from the west. Now, there is a lot more to say and so much more that we can look at in this psalm other than just these two contrasts between two kinds of men, Christ and us. In other words, there's two ways of being blessed, whether it be by our own works or by the work of another, and two kinds of coverings, whether we try to cover our own sin, which leads to absolute the description of David of himself throughout Psalm 32, his bones felt like they were wasting away. He was undone after his own attempts of covering himself, and yet God's covering of our sin. So there's a whole lot more to say other than just those two. But I want to close this evening, and as we come to the Lord's table, with thinking about the blessing of forgiveness as David is speaking of it here. And I've been thinking about this in light of the news coming out this past week of these prominent men who have been now shown to be very perverted and abusive and predatory men. And I haven't read a whole lot on these men, but I remember seeing a headline of one of them was on his way home to try and explain to his children why he had lost his job. And I wondered, can you imagine that? Can you imagine having been this prominent person and then having to somehow head home and try to explain either to your children or to your spouse or to your parents, what is now plastered all over the news. Can you imagine the shame? Can you imagine ever looking your family in the eye again? After now this expose, can you imagine having written these incriminating emails and texts? Can you imagine having taken pictures or videos and then having the whole world see them? I want you to think for a minute not about these men. I want you to think about your own sin tonight. Can you imagine if somehow we were able to see your thoughts, to hear your words, to know of your deeds? Can you imagine if the world became privy to your sin life and that was displayed everywhere in the world, the kind of shame you would feel? But I want you to think about this. Can you imagine if you could actually confess everything that you have ever done in your life? That if all the covering you've attempted, if you could remove it all and you could actually tell somebody everything you've ever done, every sinful word you've said, every sinful deed you've been involved in, every thought. And if you were to tell someone fully, no holds barred, everything, not leaving one thing in the closet, not one thing that could be found out later, but you fully exposed everything to this person, can you imagine if that person then turned around and said, I forgive you and I love you, and they didn't hold that against you? Can you imagine a full bore confession of sin, and yet also a full acceptance from the very one that you just admitted everything to? That is actually the blessing that we have in the gospel. God calls us to confess our sins. He says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is not just a theory. I think of these guys who are now having to speak with their spouses and have to admit to all of this stuff, and they're trying to figure out what to do with their sin. There is an answer. They can go to the Lord. They can be forgiven. The Lord holds out forgiveness to those who will confess their sin because He is faithful and just to cleanse them. He knows all already. And therefore, He calls us to confess all to Him. And He has promised that He will completely forgive us for everything that we have done because Christ bore that sin in His body on the tree. Truly, where sin has abounded, grace much more abounds. And you cannot find that kind of acceptance anywhere in the world. The God of all grace, the God who is holy beyond comprehension, is the one who is offering complete forgiveness and acceptance to you. And He knows everything, not just the things you're willing to tell Him. He knows it all. And He calls us to Himself for absolute, complete acceptance and forgiveness. I want us to be thinking of that as we come to His table this evening. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank You that You would love sinners like us. You say that You are too holy to even look upon sin. That must be how sufficient the work of Christ has been in Your sight, that in Him You would love us and accept us as beloved. And as we come to the table this evening, Lord, please show us again the love of our Savior as we take these elements that signify His body and His blood, that we might see the cost that was paid, but also know the acceptance that we have now in you. Father, thank you for such a complete salvation. Lead us again to our Savior tonight. Make us revel in his finished work and his righteousness. Make us sing again of the joy of forgiveness, the blessing of our salvation. May we become again a joyful people because we have been accepted by you and you love us and you care for us and you're gracious to us. We ask these things tonight in Christ's name. Amen.